Hey, good morning, everyone. On the second Sunday of Advent, hear the word of the Lord. This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. My wife intended to be here today, but she got up and this morning wasn't feeling well, so it's just me, which is a disappointment to me. I'd like to have her along. I want to talk to you today about the wonder of the promise. The wonder of the promise. Michael was my oldest son. He's 27, 28 now. But he was home from college that summer and was lying across our king-size bed as Kim was asking him questions like an investigative reporter. She was preparing for a series of lessons on parenting for the young mothers and fathers in our congregation in Phoenix. And she needed some eyewitness testimony to what she had done as a parent in the boys' early lives. So it wasn't a report card that Kim was looking for or seeking, just some very specific questions about what we may have done right. Wouldn't you like to know that, right? Now, one thing about Michael is that that you need to know is that he tells you what he thinks, and he doesn't pull any punches. And he usually is very thoughtful. It's just how he's built. So if you don't want to know something, don't ask him. But he only paused for a brief moment and said without guile, he said, well, first, it's like you guys shared a brain, talking of our teamwork. And then he said, you always did what you said you were going to do. That's what I heard as I came into the room. And he added, if I was going to get in trouble, I did. If you said we were going to Disneyland, then we went to Disneyland. Now, I remember when she said that that's what she wanted to do. That next summer, we were going to Disneyland. And I was afraid it was beyond our reach at the time. But she put it in on the calendar and she put it in their hearts. She made a promise, and guess what? It was an awesome trip to Disneyland, and of course, we shut the place down. Now, I'm not saying we were the last people to leave, but it was really easy to find our car. Taylor was up on my shoulders, resting his tired, sleepy head on my head as we walked. Michael was next to me here, and as we left the park, I said to Michael, I said, well, Michael, we did it. We did Disneyland. And he was quick to say, like somebody who had left it all on the field, he says, no, Dad, Disneyland did us. And Mom had delivered on a promise made. That's the power of a promise. That's the result of keeping your word no matter what. Following through in all the little things and the really big things in life. It's so important in creating security for our children so they know what to expect. They need to be able to count on us to say what we mean and to mean what we say. So for Kim to keep her word meant she would make the hard decisions along the way. She would say no to certain purchases. It meant she would keep the blueprint in focus and plan ahead, setting aside the money and guarding the calendar dates, searching out deals and discounts so that when the time came, she could deliver on the promise. She reflects the Proverbs 31 woman in so many ways. And she has created a testimony of someone that you can count on. In our house, Mom said is like Batman's utility belt, or Thor's hammer, or Wonder Woman's lasso. It has power. It has superpower. That's because she's been making it happen for over 30 years now. Solomon even wrote about her, saying, "She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her, for all her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates." You see, the power of a promise is only as strong as the legacy of the one who is making the promise. Let's say that again, just in case you missed it. The power of the promise is only as strong as the legacy of the one who makes the promise. And today I want you to know that no one, and I mean no one, has a better track record than the one who created you. He knows you best. He knows the plans that he has for you, as he said through Jeremiah. Plans to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you. He remembers every nuance of the promises that he has made to you, even when you may have forgotten those promises. As David said, "Before one of my days was lived, you knew them all and wrote them down." And even remembers the promises he made to your grandparents and their grandparents. Those promises that you know nothing about. He intends to keep every single one of them, and he says what he means, and he means what he says. All throughout the Bible is the wonder of the promise. It began early as the fall of man, when God promised that the seed of the woman, a son, would one day come and crush the head of our enemy, Lucifer. We read about an old couple who believed and followed God to an unknown land. And after many disappointments, and finally they held laughter in their own arms, a promised son, Isaac, through whom would come another son, that one son, to crush the head of the enemy. You can follow this thread all through the Old Testament to arrive at the baby boy in Matthew and Luke's gospel, wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in a stable under the star that the whole world could see. Keeping promises is what God is all about. He also knows when to make those promises. He knows when to step in and to announce to our souls something that will keep us soldiering on. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. That's the one thing we want to hear when trouble starts. When we are feeling overwhelmed by the seas of life swirling around our tiny tossed boat, we want to know that it's going to be okay. That's often the context of any promise. As we are about to enter into the dark valley or push back the cobwebs to a scary cave to go through, we look to someone who knows the way, who's been around long enough to have experience with this sort of thing. I promise from just such a person can belie all our fears, can push back the crushing anxiety threatening to choke out our hope. Just as he did for Adam and Eve, after the shame of their failure overwhelmed them, God announcing the coming new day, a new sun, the defeat of the enemy that stole their joy and their life. When Sarah saw nothing but the impossibility of having a son, God visited her to clarify that the promise he made to Abraham included her also. Just a year before she held that sweet baby boy Isaac in her arms, even before Israel would face 400 years of slavery in Egypt, God made a promise that he would send a deliverer to take them out. And he came through yet again and again. Almost 500 years after he promised Abraham the land of Canaan, Joshua fought the battles that took possession of the land promised to that generation. He keeps his promise from generation to generation. My father clung to a promise God gave him when I was back in high school and our future was unsure. He was concerned about my oldest brother and his lack of following after God. We had a prayer meeting in the living room about such things. And God gave my dad a scripture that he clung to. It's underlined in all of his Bibles. It was written on a card and taped to his office desk where he pastored for 40 years, the place where he prayed. He quoted it often, and even just a few weeks prior to his passing, It comes from Isaiah 54:13. Your sons will be taught of Yahweh, and great will be their peace. This was his prayer. And he prayed it with a sense of confidence, remembering that God had made this promise to him. When his sons were not following, he heard this word. It came with at a time of uncertainty. He died in early October this year, knowing his sons were walking with the Lord. I leaned in over his body, placing my face against his forehead, and whispered over him that not only did I believe, but so did his grandsons. I told him how they love the Lord and how they have hearts after the living God, how they are trusting him and how they are walking with him. They are being taught of Yahweh, I said, Dad. Even after you're gone, he'll still be keeping the promise he made to you. Those promises will extend beyond me, to my sons, to my grandson, Judah, to my granddaughter, Olivia, because that's what God does. He makes promises at just the right time, and he never fails to deliver. That's a good spot for an amen. Oh, that was pretty good. Just ask Ahaz. He is one of the many kings of Judah and Israel who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. But God made a promise to David, and so Ahaz gets a front row seat to the hand of God working through the nations. These are dark days of Israel. It's a time that they're entering into that's going to be scary and dark. It's foreboding. It's threatening. During the 12th year of the reigning of Ahaz on David's throne, he watches as Assyria dismantles Samaria, which is also known as Israel, or the 10 northern tribes of Israel that broke off from Judah after Solomon's death. They had continued in evil for many generations and had ignored again and again the call to repentance. And finally, judgment is coming. It always does. And Ahaz gets to witness it along with a word from the prophet Isaiah to prepare him for what is coming to Judah. And although it would be another 135 years before Babylon would destroy Jerusalem, yet Ahaz watches as his family is taken apart in brutal fashion. And God speaks this word of promise. It comes from the earlier verses of the passage we read just a moment ago. From Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, "Nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever." He's saying it's going to be all right. This time of darkness and despair will not be forever. And then he goes on and says, "The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, and there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian." That's verse 4 of that. And then we get to verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called," listen, "Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The Lord will make good on his promise. It's an echo of the past promise of the coming Son, a promise made to the first of us. It's being refreshed, being brought to a new generation. The certainty of a promise God made to his loved one Adam, and carrying it out to all of his descendants. He's specific now regarding the land under Israel, the land of Israel under Assyrian assault, the land given to Zebulun and Naphtali. We know that land as the land of Galilee. It's the land where Jesus grew up. These are sons of Jacob, all sharing in the inheritance of the land that God had promised, yes, to Abraham. They will be humbled. They will be broken. They will be disciplined. But a future time is coming. I love this about God, that sometimes when we enter our darkest seasons, there's always that promise of hope. A light will dawn again. when this area will be known as Galilee, and a young woman will say yes to God's plan, and she will raise a son there in a town called Nazareth, and that son would be the promised son again, and he will break the oppressor's rod just as he did when he destroyed the army of Midian. I think about Gideon, who was told, "You are a mighty warrior," and Gideon says, "No, I'm not." He says, "Yes, you are. You are a mighty warrior," because he is a precursor of what Jesus would be, the mighty warrior, to break the oppression of the enemy. I see the Spirit speaking to Ahaz, saying, "Watch out your window. In the distance, the darkness rises to shroud the goodness of God, but it will not last, not forever. A day is coming. I promise you, a new day is coming. I promise you, a new day is coming. When another son will rise, a son I promised Adam, and the one I told my friend Abraham about hundreds of years ago. And oh, what a different day it will be when he comes. For the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the land he's watching being destroyed by Syria, he says that land will be filled with the glory." There is a wonder to a promise made when the one who promises is a promise keeper, when the one who says it will be has a long history of showing up and fulfilling the promise in every little detail. And in your notes there, the wonder of a promise made can sustain us during the difficult times. That kind of promise can sustain us during the most difficult days. When it feels we cannot go on, when we are overcome or overwhelmed by the trials of this life, it will not last. It will not go on forever. That's from the promise keeper. So hang on, stand still, be patient, wait with anticipation growing in your hearts, and remember the words of the one who holds it all in his hands. It's not going to last. I promise. This coming from the everlasting Father. Think about that term for a moment. It literally means from everlasting to everlasting. From eternity to eternity. In other words, before anything existed, until long after it's all gone, God will be. That is the one who is making this promise to us. That kind of promise can sustain us during difficult days, and it can keep us looking ahead. It's so easy to get stuck in the pain, in the struggle, and to stop moving forward. But when we hear in our hearts the voice of the Spirit whisper again, "I promise, I promise," we can count on that word, and we can pick one foot up at a time, and we can move forward knowing as we move forward toward a new day. Listen to the words of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us." Listen carefully. "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him." Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. We're not going to grow weary and lose heart if our eyes are still looking forward, looking ahead. If today is another day of waiting for you, be reminded that the power of a promise that comes from the one who is the promise keeper. Because even as he acknowledges what is ahead for Israel and Assyria, as Assyria is gathering at the borders, he brings to mind what he did to the Midianites, how he raised up Gideon during the time of tremendous suffering. Israel was starving to death because the Midianites and the Amalekites had come like a swarm of locusts, literally devouring the land, leaving nothing for God's people. That is until God sent his mighty warrior Gideon. The great battle does not end until Gideon and his 300 men run down the kings of Midian into the desert. They don't stop with the one big battle. They get on their horse and they follow them out into the desert. They run them to ground and they put them to death. God always finishes what he starts. And God did come through again. God is saying, "Zebulun, Naphtali, your land will be filled with glory. Another warrior is coming, one that breaks the power of oppression, breaks the power of sin and bondage, a king to sit on the throne of David forever. So look ahead. It's going to be all right, I promise." Yes, because that's what God says, and God says what he means and means what he says. The wonder of a promise fulfilled, though, It says in Matthew, and I think this is significant, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, this is after Jesus had been baptized, after Jesus had been tempted, and he is getting ready to launch his ministry. After he left Judea, it says, that's down by Jerusalem, down by the Jordan River, where he was baptized by John. And he returned to Nazareth, to this place we've been talking about. Then he left there and moved to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, fulfilling his promise made through Isaiah. In this land beside the sea, beyond the river Jordan, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in the land where death cast its shadows, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Here we have the coming Messiah walking among his people, bringing healing, bringing deliverance, and calling to himself and announcing the arrival of the kingdom. When you think about all the tremendous miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, okay, the healing of the dead girl, the walking on the sea, the calming of the sea, the man with the legion of demons within him, all these miracles happen right around this area. The coming Messiah there. That's the wonder of a promise kept. The moment when the promise is no longer needed because it has been fulfilled. The last Thursday of September, my granddaughter was born by C-section. She was immediately taken to the NICU. And after a few days in that hospital, she was transferred to the Children's Hospital just a few miles away in L.A. She spent 39 days there in the NICU. So this grandpa did not get to hold her until the day before Thanksgiving. Now, what you need to know is I wanted girls from the beginning. And I got two boys. So we quit. We knew we was going to get a third boy. But I wanted girls both times, and I just knew I was going to get a girl. In fact, I remember having dreams of a little brown-haired, curly-haired girl bouncing up and talking to me, and I would wake up from those dreams saying, yes, the Lord's going to give me a girl. And then I held two boys, and I'm like, they look exactly alike. What is this? This felt a little bit cheated. And then my first grandbaby comes along, and he's a boy. He was born back in May, Judah Gabriel, and he's a fun little dude, and he's awesome. And I'm glad he's on the planet, but I was still waiting and longing. I remember when we got the phone call, Michael was on the phone. They were telling us what the sex of the baby was. And when it happened, I mean, it was screams and hollers and jumping around, and that was just me. And then Kim was also excited because I had waited a long, long time. It has been a longing of my heart to have a little girl to call mine. And I wanted girls from the beginning. So I had waited a long time. What a moment it was, though, okay? We stood in the hospital. We were there a couple of different times, and I stood over her, and I sang a lullaby. I wrote for her. I sang it over her, and I would place my hand on her little rising tummy, and I would pray for her, and I got as close as I could. I'd hold her little foot, you know, because she always stuck it out. They would swaddle her, and then she'd stick her foot out, right? I love that about her, and because she's got her own mind already. I would like my foot out. Thank you. And I just am just head over heels. And what I wanted to do is snatch her up out of that bed and hold her close to me and tell her without a doubt in my heart, it's going to be all right. We got you, girl. But to stand at this distance and wait and to watch her go through this valley even before she understands valleys and triumphs, here she is fighting her first battle. I love the nurses all come in. She's a feisty one. She's a fighter. And we make jokes. She's a fighter. She's a fighter. We like that she's a fighter. We may not like it when she's two, but we like it now. I just wanted to whisper to our little girl, it's going to be all right. But see, what I'm saying is there's nothing like that moment when you finally get to hold the promise. Now, I had to wait my turn because Grandma was going to be first. We arrived that Wednesday before Thanksgiving. 6-hour drive, right? And I put the pedal to the metal because I knew it was at the other end. And we walked through the door, and there she was, all dressed up, looking good. And Mimi got her first. And I had to wait some more and some more because she wasn't letting her go easy. Finally, her arms got tired, and she handed her to me. And there's nothing like that moment. Oh. I just held her close, and I do with what I did with my babies when they were growing up. I used to hold them close and whisper in their ear, and I would say, don't forget your daddy loves you. I changed the lyrics a little bit. Don't forget your granddad loves you. Listen, there's something about waiting, waiting, and waiting, and when it finally happens. I have a picture on my phone that I look at every evening before I fall asleep. It's a picture of me holding Olivia Jo, whispering in her ear, her sweet face looking toward the camera. All my life I waited for this, and now I'm enjoying it. I would give her the world if I had possession of it. Do you understand that feeling? Is there some place in your life where you understand what I'm describing? Because I'm certainly not the only person in the world that's had this kind of longing or experienced this kind of love for another human being in this way. Someone so tiny and someone that doesn't even know you, but you just have this love for them because they're yours, because they're your son's daughter. Do you get that kind of love? This is the love our Father has for us. And He holds the world in His grasp. He is the everlasting Father, the mighty God. I imagine had He held Adam close one last time and said, before He shoved him out of the garden, He says, this will not last forever. I'm sending a warrior, a son, to crush the head of the enemy of your soul. This will not go on like this. It's going to be all right. I promise. I promise. And then one lonely night in Bethlehem Hills, it unfolds like the final act of a dramatic play as the fulfillment comes into full view. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, watching over their sheep by night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God of the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left, they left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." You know what? When the glory of the wonder of the promise demands our highest praise. When Taylor, my little, was little, when he wanted to be held, when he was cranky, he would come and he would do this, right? This is the international sign of what? Pick me up, right? And in any language, that's what this means. But then he would say these words. He would say, "Hold you, hold you." And we used to laugh. That's so cute. He wants us to hold him. He's saying it backwards. Hold you, hold you. How cute. He had flipped the meaning around. But this morning, as I recalled that sweet memory, I thought about that is exactly what God did for us. The infant baby came to hold us. This kind of fulfillment satisfies the longings of our hearts, but it also demands our highest praise. Think about the planning and the waiting, making all those hard choices along the way, defending the calendar. It had to happen at just the right moment. That star had to be in just the right place, at just the right time. It had to fulfill hundreds of details, promises made to Adam, to Abraham, to David, and even Ahaz through Isaiah. It had to include the city of Bethlehem. It had to include Zebulun and Naphtali, because He doesn't forget any detail, not one single one of them. And that night the angels filled the sky and the praises were given. Today we must rise in our day and sing His praises and declare that the promise has been kept. Amen. And there's another promise. When I said goodbye to my dad, I realized that God had made him a promise years ago. He says, "In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." This doesn't mark the end of the journey for us. We still have another promise to be fulfilled. And the same one that fulfilled this promice that we celebrate today will fulfill that promise to you in the future. Will you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this great day that we honor your the day that you kept your promise, the day you kept your word. We're reminded, Lord, of the great things that you had to go through to establish this, that for generations, literally thousands of years in the making, you brought to us the answer that would meet every one of our needs, including the needs that we have here today, including the unmet, unfulfilled promises that we face here today. Lord, keep us looking forward. Remind us again of your great promise, and remind us of who it is that made this promise, Lord, that you will always keep your word because you say what you mean, and you mean what you say. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.